Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Montel Weekly Podcast, bringing you the most topical energy matters in an informal setting. This week, producer Anna and I decided on a slightly different format, didn't we, Anna?
Hello, yes, we did.
So it's coming up to the end of the year, and we thought we'd take a look forward and a peek back. So we thought we'd speak to, you know, key industry players or market participants and ask them what the main issues were this year and what will be the key market drivers going forward.
We have a very analytical episode today.
Absolutely. Four of them. So covering carbon, gas and Nordic power markets. So it should be make for some interesting listening, I hope.
Definitely. Let's hope so. Could you tell us a few words? Who are our guests today?
So we have Marcus Ferdinand, who's senior analyst at ICIS. We have Toreja Lilleholt, who's at WattSight, a senior analyst there. We have Trevor Sikorski of Energy Aspects. And we have Wayne Bryan of Alpha Energy, who's also a senior analyst.
Okay, perfect. So who shall we call first?
Let's call Toreja.
All right.
In cool. Norway.
Perfect. Is he in Oslo right now?
I'm not sure. We'll have to check.
Okay, we're actually saying hello here from Berlin, from Germany. Everyone is already getting into the Christmassy mood over here with Christmas markets and so on, but we have to work.
Exactly, yeah. No glue wine for us, Anna.
Not yet. Not exactly. Yet.
Hello?
So, hello, Toreja. How are things with you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. And are you getting in the Christmas mood?
Yeah, very soon. I will start decorating the tree now, so it will be interesting.
Excellent, excellent. We're here to talk about the market this year. In your view, what would you say were the most significant developments in 2019?
I think 2019 has been a very interesting year and exciting to find a lot of new things to analyze. And I think I will go through the different important parameters, and I will start with the weather. Actually, 2019 is an unusual year. In total, very normal, but we have seen a huge number of smaller shifts. And I could just go through the year. We had a cold and dry January. We had a very wet and mild February, March. We shifted again to dry April and May. And we had a very wet June. And once again, dry July and wet August, September. It continues with a lot of shifts here, ending up with a dry October, November, and once again in December, over to a wet condition. So definitely, from my experience, we more often see a bit longer trends in one direction. And looking in the 20 years of history, I think the past 2 years has been very close to normal. Mm. So I think you should watch out now for hydro trends might be more important for the next 2 years. But of course, also new renewable will over time dampen the effect from hydro a bit. But yeah, if we take the numbers then, go to hydrological balance. We started last year with almost 15 to 20 terawatt hours deficit. But already during 6 months, we normalized that. And both due to low hydro production and also due to more precipitation in that period. So that's important to the change. And the snow situation was well below normal during the winter time, but due to a very wet June, we normalized the hydro reservoirs as well after the summer.
Mm. And where do we stand now, in the Nordic region?
We stand now around normal, and we have a deficit around 4 to 5 terawatt hours, so that is not far from normal, actually. We have a small deficit in the hydro reservoirs, but the snow conditions is close to normal. But it's early now in the snow conditions so far, so I don't see a major topic from the hydro at the moment. But again, this type of hydro has also led to a lot less export. And actually, we have seen a lot of import to Norway so far this year. And that shows that there's another component that is very important here, and that is the gas prices, because that has been actually a very important thing in 2019. And I think that 2019 will be remembered from the year where the gas for the first time became cheaper than coal. As an input for the power market. So that is an important change. I think also this had some interesting consequences in 2019. We saw lower prices in the thermal-driven countries. The marginal cost for gas were low, and Germany will this year be delivered lower than Nord Pool system price. Mm-hmm. So it is not that very often. It's very is often seen in very cold scenarios, but we have not seen a cold and dry scenario this year.
And that's because of increased renewables and the low gas prices mainly than Torreiro?
Yeah, maybe. I think gas prices alone is a huge change in this market 2019.
That's significant,
because
yeah.
It's the first time we saw the gas prices lower than coal, and I think we have not adapted to that to the large extent in 2019. I think we will see more from gas in the future. Yeah, I also have some points that it's important for the market here. Mm. For including in the marginal cost, you have the CO2 market, and I think that they are an important part of the fuel-driven input. I think the 2018 was the year where CO2 went to a significant higher level. But in 2019, I think that is the year we saw a very stable high price at 25 euros over time.
Absolutely.
On average.
But if I can ask you then, Turay, if we can then, do you expect that to be a key driver next year? And how, you know, what are the other significant issues you see in 2020?
Definitely. I will comment hydro later, but if we take the fuel prices first, I think in general, very high level we see now in the marginal cost for coal and also on gas. That is in history a very high price. But I think that we are still in a bit of a bearish trend if looking at both CO2, coal and gas. Mm. So gas level against coal will be very important for 2020. And already now we see the gas prices, the marginal cost, 2 to 3 euros lower than the coal prices. Mm. So I have a fair bit that we see the same situation that we saw in 2019, that it could happen something with the gas. And I think gas is now definitely on the battlefield, ready to fight. Gas will be more important for the following years, I think.
Absolutely.
So we have to watch the gas analysis a lot more now in the future.
Absolutely. And just to round up, what do you think about the hydrology? What do you expect there, Turay? But
as I said, here we have a close to normal situation now. We have 4 to 5 terawatt hours deficit, but that is close to normal. But for the next year, it's not very easy to say if you have some deviation from normal, of course. But I can say that Q1 is very temperature dependent. So we have to watch out the temperatures and also looking at the capacity balance we have for Q1, because you have removed some of the nuclear now, and you also have, of course, installed all more than 4,000 megawatts of wind power this year. But still, when it's cold, I saw only 10% of the installed capacity from wind was producing.
So
definitely in a cold spell, could be we will test this capacity balance big time, I think. So I think we need a risk premium in Q1 due to the hydro or due to the climate temperatures. But of course, we very often see that the temperatures during the wintertime is a bit higher than what we see as a normal. And that will, of course, limit the potential of capacity prices. But watch out for a very cold spell. It could be testing some new levels here.
Perfect, Turay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you very much for joining the Montel podcast. And we'll speak to you again, I'm sure.
Yes, please. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So, Anna, next on the line, we'll have Trevor Sikorski from NG Aspects. He will tell us more about what to expect in gas markets for the coming 12 months. Hello, Trevor.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are things? Welcome to the Montel podcast.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, you know, we're both Arsenal fans. How are you happy with Freddie Ljungberg at the moment?
Well, he finally won a game yesterday.
Exactly.
it's got to be some progress.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully that will continue into the new year. But we're here to talk about energy markets, Trevor. What, in your view, were the most significant factors this year, if we're going to take first a peek back?
Yeah, if we look at the gas markets, definitely this is going to be a year where it's kind of been the year of moving into low prices and the market trying to deal with low prices, both on the global stage and, of course, in the European market. Very, very high storage levels, lots of pressure on prices to go low, some periods of very, very low pricing, a lot of fuel switching being priced in, so coal to gas, happening a lot across across the year. Just a lot of dynamics dealing with low gas prices. And probably they're going to be here to stay for 2020. But it's, you know, looking back on 2019, it was all about those low prices. I think the second thing that was really important last year, of course, was all of the issues around Russia. And that's particularly a European issue. And there were so many of them. But certainly, you know, the Ukrainian transit issue, which still hasn't been resolved, is something that was playing out through the background, I think, of 2019, and certainly helped create some of the, what we saw, some very, very strong contango in that gas curve, that being something, you know, which we lived with a lot. But, you know, part of that was because the prompt was so weak, but part of that was because the forwards were being held up by issues around what's going to happen if you don't have Russian gas transiting the Ukraine come the 1st of January. Other issues with Russia was like, when was Nord Stream going to come online? You know, Nord Stream 2, a lot of that tied up with the transit agreements, of course, with the Danish refusing to give permission and trying to delay that decision to give permission to lay in Danish waters. That continued until late in the year, when in October they eventually had to make a decision on that and eventually allowed them to start their pipeline. So Nord Stream 2, Turk Stream was in the background. And then, of course, there was the OPAL issues and the fact that the ECJ revoked the derogation on OPAL. And there was a lot of kind of, uncertainty about how the Russians, how Gazprom was going to deal with those OPAL restrictions. And that's kind of played out, and those have been important. So lots of things around Gazprom and its supply, lots of LNG coming into the market just because the market was going into oversupply. It was all about dealing with low pricing.
We've also seen some details emerge maybe of US legislation and potential sanctions against companies involved in Nord Stream 2. How do you see this panning out?
It may be a case of too little too late in some ways. I mean, if you look at Nord Stream 2, the sanctions that are being talked about was on the pipelaying vessels. The pipelaying vessels are probably largely going to be finished their job sometime in January, I think. There's some signs that the pipelaying vessels have moved back or have moved into position in Danish water and about to start laying pipes. And so you'd have to get those sanctions in, very, very quickly. And it's not clear that that's going to happen this year, even though there's a little bit more of talk on that. If it does, it probably just makes it a little bit more complex, a little bit more time consuming to finish. The one thing that probably isn't going to be completed this year could be some above water tie-ins in German waters, and that might complicate it if there are US sanctions in place. But most of that pipeline, both lines of that pipeline are almost are constructed, and it is just going to be to find some workarounds if you do get some sanctions in place.
Sure. And what about next year? If we look forward a bit, Trevor, what do you think? Are we going to continue in this low price environment, or does a lot depend on, the resolution of the transit gas issue between Russia and Ukraine?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put to one side the Ukrainian transit issues, you would say everything is bearish European gas from where we are. Particularly the summer contracts look overpriced. Everything has to come down in order to balance, and the global market looks incredibly weak. If you look at JKM TTF spreads across the curve, they are incredibly thin, and that suggests a lot of LNG is going to come into the European markets in 2020, more so than even in 2019. And, without a very, very cold Q1 and without some sort of transit, then you are looking at probably, ending the year with more gas, ending the winter with more gas in storage. And less flexibility probably in the gas markets, because you've already priced in much of the gas into power. And it does feel like 2020 will be the lowest point for the European gas market, so lower than in the 19. Probably 2021, when you get there, you would see some things tightening it up just in terms of the LNG the continued march of new LNG supply capacity begins to slow when you get out there. But you've still got a lot of, new trains. You've got at least four very big trains in the US still to come online, probably in the next, the next 6 months. That's going to continue to add supply. So it looks very, very low. Now, I think the big question is, do you get a supply interruption? And, it's pretty late in the year. We still don't have resolution on that one topic of Russia-Ukraine. I mean, it kind of feels like the political fallout from those, from having certainly a sustained disruption, maybe even a short disruption, might be too big for either party. The Russians have shown that they're willing to kind of have some kind of short-term arrangement for them. That's a year, but probably the Ukrainians would have to at least accept something shorter than that, maybe 3 months or 6 months, just to give more time for negotiations to resolve, the outstanding issues there. It is going to go down to the wire. There is a lot of brinkmanship there, and it could be very, very late in the year before we actually find out, what kind of solution they might put in place for Q1. Certainly, if you had Q1 in Europe without Russian gas transiting Europe, Ukraine, into Europe, then you would see, I would think, some very, very, some much higher gas prices, and a lot more support
on this,
from prices. So
on
that's one
prospective deal. But Trevor, if I could just sort of ask you one thing. It is, the Christmas season. If I were to grant you one wish for the market for next year, what would that be?
That's a good question. We've certainly got bountiful
supply. For the
market,
yeah?
Yeah. I'd like some socks, apart from that.
Yes, exactly. For the market.
For the market. I think, we are in a period of bountiful supply. So certainly, greater demand, I think, would be the one thing that you would say, is what the market would need to kind of help balance it out. And certainly, I think, in general, what we'd like to see, on a more personal level, of course, is a very strong European Green Deal coming out. I think that would, certainly be good for the carbon. It'd certainly put upward pressure on the carbon market. But that kind of, increased global ambition on emissions reduction would be the one thing that would, we'd really kind of look for and hope for.
Excellent. Excellent, Trevor. Thank you very much for joining this week's podcast.
Thank you, Richard.
So we know what Trevor needs for Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to tell his friends
some Monta Weekly socks. That was Trevor Sikorski, Head of Natural Gas, Coal and Carbon Research at Energy Aspects. And next in line is Wayne Bryan of Alpha Energy.
I'm looking forward to
be good. More gas market insights, I think.
Yes.
Anna.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Wayne. Or should I say Wayne Alpha? How are you? How are things going? You going in the Christmas mood, Wayne?
I am. I'm very Christmassy at the moment. Yes, and I'm very much looking forward to the Christmas period.
Well, today we're sort of talking more about the market this year and expectations for next. But let's start with a little look back. What, in your view, were the key issues in the gas market this year, Wayne?
Oh, we've had several, really. I mean, the prices have fluctuated quite a lot if you look back this time last year, where the market was, fast forward 12 months to where it is now. We've had a lot of incidents. We've had flow issues. We've had the Groningen situation where they sort of surprised us. We had that huge trifecta of announcements in September that pushed the market up 20%. We had concerns around Langlet flows. I remember in early sort of March, April, that people were very concerned about the summer. Prices sort of ramped up, and that was actually just a sign of some sort of commercial flow optimization. We've had different sorts of weather. We've had some demand from the power sector, not as strong as last year because the French nuke situation has been a bit better. Mm. It's been a sort of up and down year, but for me, the main thing is as we come towards the end of the year, a lot of the things spoke about and talked about, including from myself and some other peers, was about this sort of oversupply and how the market was sort of overpriced at several points throughout the year. And as you can see, if we look at prices the last couple of days, some contracts were at levels from 2016. And I think you remember your conference that I presented at. Mm. I sort of talked about that and the potential for the gas market. And this was, when was the conference? It was sort of 6 weeks ago, perhaps?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
At that time, I pulled up. 6 weeks, yeah.
Very prescient of you, Wayne.
Yeah. And at that time, I do recall mentioning about how I think the prices were sort of going to drift back towards 2016 levels if the status quo remained. Fast forward sort of 6 weeks later, and here we are. Prices are indeed at such levels, and a lot of the risk premium has been removed from the market. And don't forget the one last thing, which I didn't mention sort of from this year, which actually has come to fruition this week. I've been part of the sort of risk premium removal we see from Q1 onwards. Was the Russian-Ukraine gas transit situation. LNG also has had a huge impact this year. We're finally seeing oversupply in a big way. Again, as we're at the end of the year, it's sort of exacerbated now with around 20 cargoes on their way to the UK as we speak.
Wow, yeah. So, I mean, you had your crystal ball out 6 weeks ago, Wayne, and you were proved correct. What about looking forward to next year? I mean, what do you think will be the key drivers in 2020?
Again, also one thing I didn't mention was obviously the trade war and Brexit. I mean, there's a lot of things been going on this year.
Absolutely.
But they sort of start, as I start thinking of next year, I can start remembering some of the stuff that happened this year as well. But for me, I think the main drivers for 2021, looking firstly sort of some sort of order, is let's get this transit flow agreement signed off. We had some positive noises from Gazprom, from Putin, his advisors, and also from the Ukrainian president and the Ukrainian energy people from Naftogaz, etc. And it gives us confidence now, and you saw the market reaction yesterday, that deal will indeed be signed. Now, I always thought this would happen, as I've said to you, I think, several times before for several reasons.
Yeah.
And now I think we're going to see it happen. I know there's probably concerns around sort of how long the deal is going to be. It won't be 1 year and it won't be 10 years. I sort of gather it will be sort of somewhere in between 3, 4, 5 years, maybe max, which I'd still be surprised at. So that is getting that done first and foremost. If we see some gas flowing into Germany via Ukraine on January the 1st, that's going to bode very well for the markets.
Yep.
There's still some weather risk as well. Again, I didn't mention the weather, but the weather's been very mild this year. I think it's been one of the hottest years on record, I believe, this year has been, or is going to be, once we get to the end of the year. And also, we didn't really see a super hot summer, and we didn't really see how so far, I haven't really seen a cold winter. Yeah. Heating demand is negligible at the moment. So again, weather risk is something that I'll be looking out for, not only in the Atlantic Basin, but in the Pacific Basin as well, because some of the fundamental drivers affecting European markets are also affected Asian markets as well when it comes to LNG. That's also something. Also, improving economic conditions. Will the trade war get resolved? Again, we've had ups and downs all year regarding this, and we've got the 15th, I think, is the next deadline that people are looking towards. You see equity markets have sort of sideways trading now, waiting for this news. And again, if that gets signed off, we should see an improvement in economic conditions, which as of so far this year have not been very good. Any improvement in economic conditions can also help in terms of commodity markets as well, because they've been affected. So that's something that's important.
Wayne, it's the season for giving, and if I were to grant you a wish for next year, what would that be?
I think I'd like to see this trade war sort of get resolved at some point, because it's sort of weighing down global growth. It's causing problems everywhere, like Brexit did, and Brexit kind of still is. So I'd like to see a bit of economic sort of harmony. That would be sort of my wish, a geopolitical sort of slowdown, removal of some risk. We've seen a lot of geopolitical concerns this year. I'd like to see a smooth Brexit, and also like to see some sort of resolution to this endless sort of trade war and endless barbs from both sides, from the US and China. I'd like to see an end to that. That's my wish.
Perfect, Wayne. Excellent. Have a great Christmas, and we'll speak again in the new year, I'm sure.
Yeah, you too. And we'll definitely speak soon. Have a good one.
All the best, Wayne.
And last but not least is Marcus Ferdinand, Head of European Power and Carbon Analytics at ICIS. He will tell us all about what to expect for carbon in the months to come.
Hi, this is Marcus speaking, ICIS.
Hello and welcome, Marcus Ferdinand, Head of European Power and Carbon Analytics at ICIS. I wanted to ask you in particular about what you think were the most significant carbon market developments this year.
Right. Hi, Richard. Yeah, 2019, I think, was quite a busy year for carbon markets. I mean, we've seen quite a few ups and downs. I think over the course of the year, the price has been fluctuating between 19 and 30 euros, which is obviously a relatively high band.
Mm.
I mean, in general, I think the market was basically looking into the impact of low gas prices. So we have seen quite a high degree of fuel switching this year, which in a way constrained UA prices, I would say, on the upside.
Mm.
We expect to see around 105 million tons lower emissions actually from the power sector compared to 2018. So around 60 million of that is the switch from coal to gas, and another 40 million is renewables, which I think is quite substantial to note.
Those are big
especially,
numbers.
Yeah, especially if we look into where the gas price is at the moment and how it might change. I mean, in the end, looking at low gas price environments and carbon prices still being able to touch 30 euros, I think tells you some sort of a story. Then I think other factors that the market looked at, obviously dynamics around the German coal phase out and possibilities to cancel allowances associated with the potential phase out. No clarity as of yet, but there might be clarity emerging as we speak.
Mm.
So we've seen a few statements there. Obviously, the entire year was overshadowed by Brexit uncertainty and nervousness.
Mm.
So we've seen lots of volatility related to that. Carbon traders rather looking at British broadcasting to see what the price might do rather than looking at the fundamentals because it had such a big impact.
Mm.
And then, yeah, as I said, I think 30 euros on the upper end was some sort of a psychological barrier that the market didn't pass.
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what the next year brings, whether that that boundary kind of persists or whether we're going to see some sort of a different direction there.
Exactly. That was going to lead me into my next question, Marcus. You know, what are your expectations for next year? So in terms of prices, do you think we'll see, you know, will we breach that 30 band? Will we come down to, you know, around 20? And what will be the key drivers? Will there be the more of the same or, you know, will new other issues come to the fore, do you think?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think some of them will stay the same, obviously, because we haven't seen the Brexit discussion resolved yet. And we have also a few other topics which will stay, like the German coal phase out for sure. There's a few new topics which should come, which I think is the Green New Deal. So some of that will be, or more details will be revealed already this week, Wednesday. And then heads of state and governments might endorse actually 2050 carbon neutrality target by end of this week. Already like gearing up for next year. So by March, we expect the carbon neutrality target then to be enshrined in legislation if political agreement permits. And by October, I think the new commission said that it will present a 2030 target increase legislation, which obviously has quite a high impact on how European carbon prices will develop. Because this 2030 target increase will need to be translated into a changed ETS target, right? So so the Green New Deal, I think, entails quite an additional storyline that wasn't present in the market for too much in 2019.
Mm.
Fundamentally, what we would see is that 2019 is still undersupplied, but much less compared to 2019. So we will see more auction volumes coming to market in 2020. Part of it is related to excess derogation volume from Poland. We have a few unauctioned EAFTA volumes, which will make it to market. And then obviously, once Brexit is resolved, we will see the entire UK auction volume from 2019 entering the market.
Maybe we could say if Brexit is resolved, but yeah, you seem to
agree. But always the ifs in here, obviously, right? I mean, as an analyst, you always speak in ifs.
Of course. Marcus, excellent. I mean, I think we want to be focusing very clearly on the Green Deal, and if that means a tightening of the 2030 target, then that's going to be clearly something we should keep a close eye on. Thank you very much. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the podcast. So all the best for now, and happy Christmas and happy New Year.
All right. Take care, Richard. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. So, Anna, I think there should be a big thank you to our guests, Torayr, Trevor, Wayne and Marcus. And I think there are several key areas that listeners, you should be keeping a close eye on. The potential for a cold spell in the first quarter of next year. The details of the Green New Deal coming from the Commission. Germany's coal exit and what that means for coal plants potentially coming offline, and also for cancellation of EUAs. And I think it's clear that, you know, potentially we could see very low gas prices in the foreseeable future. And I think that's all for this week's episode. So it's goodbye from me.
Greetings from Berlin, and goodbye from me as well. And keep up to date with all the stories on Montel News. Follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter. And you can subscribe to the Montel Weekly Podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So see you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.